Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Motherfucker, stomping at the damn beat. Just face it when you pass it to me. The shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
Derek, if you would, start giving me some light Goldberg chants.
Goldberg, Goldberg, Goldberg.
Returning soon.
Goldberg.
To the WWE.
Goldberg.
The one.
Goldberg.
The only.
Goldberg.
Mickey James. Did you hear the news, Derek?
Yes.
Mickey James is coming back.
Yes.
Mickey James is coming back to work NXT because...
In Toronto.
Because NXT's ratings are so bad and Asuka has no one to work with because the brand split depleted it. Mickey James is coming back! I'm excited, actually. Mickey James versus Asuka is going to be bad as fuck. Like, it's gonna be a good match. They're gonna have that planned out really well. They already have it announced. The two of them are already planning it. They're already working on it. They're gonna have it worked out because Mickey James goes to the performance center and works out.
Hey, hold on, check.
Okay,
it.
Okay.
Here's
okay.
What I'm thinking.
Uh huh.
Like you're saying, they work it out, but yeah. I'm thinking Asuka could possibly drop the title and be bumped up to the main card.
Mm-hmm. To Mickey James.
Why
I don't
not?
Think,
Why
Mickey,
not?
Mickey James has independent dates booked post the NXT show. So the feeling is she has not signed a contract.
Yeah. But who knows during that time period? She could have an amazing match and they'd be like, oh.
Well, they might hammer something out.
Yeah, we could give you a title right here, right now. And
They might hammer something out and make a Mickey James cut. You think she's going to come out to this music?
Mickey James.
Who are we talking about?
Either or.
This is why we're the shittiest wrestling podcast in America. It's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast episode 13, right?
Episode 13. It would have been better if we did this on a Friday.
Sean.
Derek.
And we're recording early today. Is it weird? Normally we record late.
I see the sun still shining.
Yeah, so it does kind of make this feel weird. Normally we record late because there's like either a pay-per-view or I'm at work. But I just happened to be off. The Browns were going, so I figured you'd be awake since the Browns were on.
Every Sunday.
So I was like, all right, let me hit up Derek and see if he's awake.
See if we can do an early.
And record the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. So Mickey James is coming back. That's some of the news. Let's dive. You want to dive into some news? Some crazy stuff, news. I, as of we're recording this right now, some like crazy shit happened Friday that was all weird and shit. And I went on this crazy blackout drunk tirade where I quit Lousy Weather Media and,
the third, fourth time?
And so I completely like resigned and I quit and I've like left the Facebook group. So I'm recording this episode and putting it online and I don't even know if like I'm a part of Lousy Weather Media or what. I don't even know what the hell's going on.
And what, Tuesday, Wednesday, you do the main
Tuesday
show?
Tuesday, I do the main show, and like I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to do it, but then I was like, Chris Clem's going to be on it. Chris Clem's the guest, so I was like, okay, well, I'll do the Chris Clem episode, and then
and
we'll
then
see.
And then the next episode after that, and the next episode, and the saga continues.
But I just might hate 3/4 of the members of the podcast now. What the hell's Scotty doing? Scotty just hopped up in my lap as we're recording a wrestling podcast.
You're lucky Brian Christopher didn't fucking come after
him. So that was my weekend. I ridiculously wrestled Josie's dog as well Friday when I was drunk. So now I'm covered from head to toe in bruises.
You let her dog kick your ass.
Her dog kicked my ass. I'm covered head to toe in asswood bruises. My whole arm's fucked up. My mom was like, who the hell's beating you up? I was like, Josie's dog. Fuck.
It sounds like she's in more condition than you are to
the
fight
dog is
right
yeah
now.
I kept like putting the dog in like headlocks and doing it in snapmare takeovers, and the dog would fucking somehow work onto me, so I had to get into full guard. And then, you know, from there, like the dog,
she assumed mount and just beat your ass.
Exactly. The dog knows what to do. It can go to side control and fucking just whoop my ass. It can get me a mount, fucking fuck me up. This dog just knows how to fucking work Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
It just straight up arm-barred you?
Mm-hmm. Well, not a lot of arm bars, a lot of ground and pound. This cat will not stay off these mixers. Like, it's trying to sabotage this podcast. Scotty Too Hottie Kardashian sabotages podcast.
He's trying.
But so that's what's going on in the lousy weather media world. Our last episode of the main show had over 300 listens, dude.
That's good.
Yeah, Lousy Weather Media is a fucking podcast channel. It's just growing exponentially, and we're having fun.
We're at 50 views. Woo!
We added a new show, Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hortano Diablo, where they, I know I told you about it last week, but they bring a comedian on every week to talk about like a supreme. Now I'm fighting with this cat, so it's making me forget what I'm talking about.
How about you go on the ground?
There we go. Put the cat
right
on the ground.
Right back to the lap he goes.
So but they bring a comedian on every week to talk about something that they hate, and then they decide whether or not the hate's justified or if they're wasting their time hating that thing. Like last week they had a guy,
and everything's justified.
Like last week's episode was a guy who hates art school students, but his girlfriend is one. So it was a weird dilemma.
It's a catch 22 for him.
As the episode went on, it became a pretty crazy dilemma. I'll give it that. So it was. The cat just jumped up in my lap.
I told you. He's like Goldberg giving you a spear.
It was pretty fucking crazy, dude. Goldberg. So what about all right, so Mickey James coming back for Survivor Series of Toronto. And then the rumor is Goldberg is returning for wrong song. My bad. There we go. Goldberg is returning for Survivor Series the next day. I say that right? The night before Survivor Series will be Mickey James at NXT.
Yeah, NXT Takeover Toronto.
And then Survivor Series is next night and Goldberg's supposed to come back. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor going around.
He'll be
around.
On
that's
Raw.
What?
He'll be on Raw tomorrow night. By the time you're listening to this, he'll be on Raw.
Yep.
And then we'll go from there and see.
For sure.
If he's going to be at Survivor Series, I think that they should stretch this out.
Well, WrestleMania.
You know, it'd be really cool if I'm just going to be guest booker right now. All right. Yeah. Sean asked guest booker. Okay. So, Monday, Goldberg comes back.
Coming this Monday.
Monday, yeah, it would be tomorrow night. Goldberg comes back and he says, I would love to accept your challenge for a fight, but I've already accepted a contract to wrestle in the 5-on-5 SmackDown versus Raw for the SmackDown brand. And then fucking Goldberg's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so if you want
to... Why on SmackDown? He's on Raw.
Because that's what I'm saying. If you want to fight me, if you want to fight me, you get on the Raw squad and we'll meet at Survivor Series in the 5-on-5 battle. So you give Goldberg a little bit of ring time
to work in between.
He can work 5 minutes actually alone and then some stuff outside the ring. And then by Royal Rumble... Or WrestleMania, you really hit it in like.
That's the you know main what I'm saying. Like WrestleMania is what I'm thinking.
They did that type of thing like with Sting. Like Sting only got 2 matches in, but they debuted Sting here. He didn't show up again for another month or so on Raw. Showed up And then boom, now he's at Royal Rumble. And then boom, you finally got the match at WrestleMania. So that angle went from Survivor Series to Mania
easily
without too much going on.
Oh, for sure. And the only reason why I think it could be at WrestleMania myself mm-hmm. is because I think they might not have an Undertaker match at WrestleMania, possibly.
The only reason why you'd want to not do it WrestleMania is because you don't want to have that same scenario where, like, oh God, their contracts are ending and they're both leaving after this match happens thing, like they had at WrestleMania 20 that stunk up the building in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden.
And now we lost all our New York viewers.
Madison.
We were really hoping on them.
Madskin. All right, but the deal is essentially done. If Paul Heyman's sitting in the ring talking, like, I'm pretty sure a couple people reported it, Dave Meltzer maybe, a couple people reported it, that deal's done, Goldberg return is imminent, we just don't know when.
Exactly.
And then, boom, Paul Heyman shows up on TV going, Goldberg, come out. And if you watched it, the crowd really was kind of like...
He started the Goldberg chant.
Damn, because it was something me as a viewer sitting there, I was like, damn, Goldberg, that's sick. Like, I was never even the biggest Goldberg fan back in that time because... I was already a WWF loyalist.
See, now we're losing these viewers.
I watched...
this is why we do it late night, Sean.
Yeah,
we give you time
talk.
To think.
I watched like Goldberg's initial run, basically up until about the time he lost the belt, and then I was...
Dude, he was huge.
But
I just got into Goldberg.
There were so many people who were really...
From watching old shit, dude, and... Dude,
he was popular.
Dude,
I had friends who were like, they looked at WWF like, oh, fuck that shit. You got Big Sexy and Goldberg over here. Like, and to have like 10-year-old kids say that to you was really weird back in the day. But like, that was just
weird,
the era we lived in, dude.
It wasn't weird because you knew who they were talking about.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you're like, who the fuck you talking about?
Big Sexy.
Big Sexy? Fuck's that?
They had a guy named, like, people would be like, oh, WCW, Big Sexy. And you're like, what? Like, that's the weirdest way to describe
dude, when I see it now, dude, I just laugh because I think the same thing. Like, what the fuck? But back then, you were like,
that's who he was.
You were throwing up the you were saying it yourself throwing up, yeah.
Lousy Weather Media is the click, man.
The click.
We the click. We're the podcast click.
I thought we were the Stormy Cloud.
We moved off of Stormy Cloud. We've actually grown. We're the click. I seen Chris Clem reference it. He said it to what'd he say to like when Jeremy Shear or one of them posted like, hey, our new podcast is out with like Lousy Weather Media. Fucking Chris Clem was like, welcome to the click. And I wanted to do like a hand symbol emoji or
throw
something.
Throw out the metal sign.
I wish they had a Wolfpack emoji.
Yeah, Wolfpack. That would be awesome.
But I ignored the comment and scrolled on. But
was this click. At the time you were mad at the guys?
No, this is a few weeks
ago. That's fucked up.
Right now is when I'm mad at
right
everybody.
Right now
is when I'm not a part of Lousy Weather Media.
Just Lousy Wrestling.
I can't wait to do the main show Tuesday and just make it awkward for everybody. Just be like, I hate every single person in this room. I've deleted you all off social media. None of us are friends.
You're a broken Sean ass now.
Like, I fired off like three or four tweets, and I was like, and then I read them back the next day, and I left them all because I was like, they're kind of funny, and it sounds like a skit, even though they're all for real. Like, one of the tweets was just like 20 middle finger emojis. That really showed everybody how I felt.
20 middle. Well, you can never have enough, but thanks to emoji, you can just add in at least 155 on what, Twitter?
I was like...
Or 144, is that their count?
The dog and I were wrestling, and I was like begging for help for the dog, and nobody helped me.
Well, you done told everyone to fuck off.
This is why I told everybody
to
fuck off.
Oh, this is why? All right.
I was like, help, help, help.
The
nobody
dog's
help me.
Kicking my ass.
The dog's kicking my ass. I'm blackout drunk on Sailor Jerry Rum. Help. I told everybody, I said,
don't let me drink this.
I said, yeah,
I've had a prior incident. Remember?
Okay, yeah, a few times. So I was like, this is the type of alcohol that leaves me on your front porch crying to let me burn the office to my flash drive. Like, this is, I will be like begging to fucking burn the office if you let me drink this. And by the end of the night, I stormed home and deleted everybody off Facebook and destroyed my house because I couldn't find my vape.
And then burn every episode of The Office.
And then I burn every episode of Office. It's actually what I watched on Netflix when I went to sleep. It's not.
You don't need the flash drive. You got Netflix for that now.
I know. Remember, yeah. Netflix is so sick nowadays. 2010, I was still fucking like using flash drives to in torrent sites. When I was fucking blackout drunk on Sailor Jerry. Sailor Jerry has never equaled a good equation for me. It's got me drunk fast. But holy shit,
and
do
it
I,
gets you beat up and wanting to
just, it makes me turn into another person by the time I'm drunk, fun, and then I take that one last drink and you don't know when it's gonna happen. It might happen at like 1 o'clock, it might happen at 6 AM. But you take that one drink that makes you just flip ape shit for America. You know what I mean? Like, I've broken glass bottles and bled all over Josie's basement before, like, on like
you're like fucking Hannibal Lecter on Sailor Jerry Rum.
I haven't had a bad blackout drunk drinking experience in a long time where I got into an argument with
except
anybody
for right what now. This weekend.
Yeah, this is the first one in years. Normally when I get blackout drunk, I'm just like laying on my back going, I am America! But this past week, I was like fucking... Sailor Jerry Rum just left me crying on a front porch begging to let me burn the office to a flash drive.
That's awesome.
Because that's what you do to flash drives. You don't copy. You don't move. You burn.
Yep. You burn it like a CD.
So anyway,
fella.
So another news, Paige suspension came through on like Monday, wasn't it?
I seen it Tuesday.
Maybe it was Tuesday. Yeah, so,
they probably
so she got
it Monday,
suspended 60 days.
Tuesday.
And like as soon as I saw the suspension, dude, I was like, Derek called it. I even tweeted it. Like, we don't have any followers on Twitter. We have like 10 or 11. But I tweeted it. I'm like, fucking Derek called this shit. He, like you literally said on last week on the podcast, you said with all the shit going on between Alberto and Paige, just the way they're acting and the news coming out and just the weird stuff with the stabbing and so on and so forth, that you wouldn't be surprised if there's more drugs involved in what they're doing. And you didn't really say it like that. You were like, you were kind of like, you know, with all the stuff going on, they're probably fucking sharing drugs between everybody. Like, I'm pretty sure that was like kind of the way you said it. But your intention was that with everything going on, you wouldn't be surprised that there's more drugs involved in their lives right now.
I mean, you really think he got stabbed? Just because.
I have no idea. Especially with all the articles of
people. Did you see the TMZ video? Oh, you got to look at it. There's some guy from TMZ, I forget who it is, talks to him. And if you find it, you can just go ahead and bring it up and play it. And he just goes on and talks about how it was a street fight that some drunken idiot disrespected his girl. And he just had a street fight. And he kind of didn't want to say, like, he really wasn't implying just besides it was a street fight and it was just a drunken idiot at his friend's bar. Mm. Like, and you know how we were saying, like, you said, what, last week that they called the police department to see about the stabbing when there was, like, no report, so they're not sure.
Yeah.
So, like, he wouldn't even show it. Like, they asked him about the army and he was like, yeah, it's all, like, tore up. Like, if I really got stabbed and was on TMZ or whatever, I'd been like, yeah, motherfuckers, I got stabbed. You see this shit? Like, yeah, like, stabbed. I wouldn't kept my jacket on him and like, oh, it was just a street fight, you know, like no big deal. There, I think there's a little bit more involved.
I found it here. Hold on a second. Yeah. Might play an ad first, so go ahead and just keep saying.
Oh, that's pretty much the gist of it I got, but Paige didn't talk or nothing. He just kept
she
looking
just
at her and
there.
He like plucked her on her chin or something.
She looks
with
all
his
fucked
thumb.
Up on opiates or something.
Yeah, she does. She actually looks like a strung out heroin like like your strung out heroin girlfriend. Like seriously, like look at the video. That's what I got. But you know how. But you know how she's pale anyways, and she wears dark makeup. It could just be that because she already has like that look to go. But when you look at it, you're going to be like,
look at you guys. You guys looking good.
No, I'm not.
You look happy.
Gym.
You guys look so happy. Look at you guys.
She
look
sounds like she's on opiates.
Dude, you see how fucked up she looks?
I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're with us because you had a crazy incident recently with a stabbing. What happened, dude?
Well, it was one of those being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay.
It was an incident with a guy who disrespected my girl. And I was
disrespected
her? I got involved in a street fight. I got a little bit hurt, but thank God I'm fine right now. We put that behind. It's just, it was a freaking incident.
Where was it?
It was in San Antonio, and it was...
San Antonio, Texas?
San Antonio, Texas, yeah, that's where I live. And it was just like, I think, for 25, 30 seconds.
It was a bar, a restaurant, or?
It was also a restaurant, but... But I mean, now I'm fine, and you're just...
What were the injuries? Like, you got...
It's my arm, my head, part of my hand.
And did you call the police?
You know, well, you see when he said his head was, and shit? Where the fuck on his head is injured? Definitely not his face.
No, it was, like, on the top of his head. He was, like, stabbed right on the top of his head.
I would have showed all...
That was the picture he showed on Instagram.
Yeah, I seen the Instagram.
It's just like, I put it out there just for respect for the Mexican promoter, Dorian Roldan, because he was the only one affected. But the problem with the internet is when you put something out there, there's, you're going to have a bunch of haters changing or just telling a different story, and I'm just...
Yeah,
my family got really affected
like
by that.
Like me telling a different story.
I just want to put it out there.
No, I don't understand, because that's what a lot of people are saying online. Like, they don't know any questions. Like, what do you say to the fans that kind of... Like
it's just suspicious to me, especially after Paige got suspended, you know what I'm saying?
For me, it's ridiculous for people to have to be making assumptions of something that it was a street fight. It was an incident with a street fight.
Obviously, Alberto, like, I've heard of this. Obviously, Alberto lives in fucking the West Side Story, and the Sharks and Jets are battling for fucking Maria. And that's what's going on.
And Paige is Maria.
What the fuck? So, it's just a street fight. I get in street fights from time to time.
You know, like
that's the dumbest fucking excuse I ever
heard. Yeah, like, and you seen how Paige looked. Like, she kind of...
I mean, she looks all right.
She came out like, oh, better get a straight face on. Like, I'm fucked up. But, oh, there's cameras in my face. Like, I took that assumption, like, instantly.
So, she ended up with another suspension for 60 days.
60 days. Now, this claims, is a total of 90 days off TV.
She tweets, same shit, different day, kids. Make sure you get proper release for your prescriptions or whatever the fuck. Or make sure your prescriptions aren't banned or whatever she says. And her father even Facebook posted, her brother Facebook posted that
her whole
like,
family was like,
they were all on her defense.
Neck injuries,
like, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And she's getting medicine that fucking, she's getting, she probably is on fucking Oxycontin or some shit. She got something prescribed for her neck injury that was apparently on the banned substance list and she failed for it. And, WWE came right back the next day with a press release saying no, she failed under the illegal substance category. Yeah. And so I saw a breakdown that was like, okay, they break it into like three charts. They have performance enhancing drugs, they have prescription drugs, and then they have illegal substances. And then the next person that wants to say like, oh, well, she likes to smoke pot, she's probably just smoking weed. Well, weed is a $2,500 fine and no suspension.
Yeah.
And they don't even release your name on it. It used to be a $1,000 fine, but Brian Kendrick was way too into just paying the fine.
So they had to up it and up.
Well, they actually took it away. They started suspending people for 30 days for it, but then after they kind of weeded out a lot more of the like potheads who wouldn't cope to their ideas and follow the rules.
I wonder if Brian Kendrick's just going to keep just paying that $2,500 fine now.
Probably. You know what I mean?
He's like, or, no suspension. It's in there.
It all depends, too, because then they also don't drug test part-timers, they've said, and stuff like that. So anyway, it was some sort of illegal substance, whether her and fucking Alberto on some cocaine bender two nights ago, then they drug tested her or what the fuck ever it was. Because most drugs don't stay in your system that long. So she was doing something that popped up.
Yeah, something illegal.
Or even if it was a fucking, even if it was like a OxyContin or something she probably wasn't supposed to have, and she's saying, oh, it was my prescription pills.
Yeah.
And no, you had something stronger, or whatever the fuck, whatever the case may be.
Yes.
Clearly. It's purely speculation here, the Lousy Wrestling Podcast.
I don't think WWE is purely speculating.
But it's an interesting story, man. I really like Paige. I have a cat named after her.
And yet she's been off TV for, what, 4 or 5 months now?
Yeah, this whole thing that she's young, and I feel like she's just kind of...
She's with Alberto, getting in street fights.
She's living a free fucking spirit right now. She's young, and she's fucking living freely. You know, that you get thrust into the spotlight. She's been wrestling since she was, like, fucking 12. She's hired by WWE at 18 or 19. NXT champion at 19, Divas champion at 21, you know what I mean? Yeah. By the time she's like 23, 24, which she is now, you've been fucking nonstop, constant grind, being perfect. It's about time to let loose and be a fucking retard. I mean, I'm not putting it past
her. Like an Amish
as
kid.
Long
she gets
as
that, she gets her little sabbatical.
And then she's got to come back. just as long
she's
as
on her sabbatical,
go
huh?
Do your thing. Just don't be a fucking, like... I mean, be a retard. That's part of growing up, is being a retard.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
She's going to learn.
Yep.
You live and learn.
So, what do you... Alberto, though, has been working. He worked with his arm taped up and shit like
that. I seen
that.
He's going to be on TNA, but he don't know for sure unless the money
he's
is
gonna
there.
He's going to be on TNA? I don't believe all that shit.
Go ahead and read what I've seen about him.
Go ahead and read it. So, we'll do the big story of the week I wanted to talk about. I wanted to open with
what?
The
Hideo Itami neck injury?
No.
Oh, that's not big news?
I was going to talk about Billy Corgan is suing TNA Wrestling.
Oh, my God.
Okay. How the fuck does all this develop?
I didn't read the full article. I just seen that, and I instantly smiled and was like, just sell the fucking thing for $7 and a tuna fish sandwich.
He's obviously money invested in it, so he's got a problem. But he's like, name president. Everything about his relationship with TNA was...
TNA, Dixie Carter, her husband.
Everything about Billy Corgan and TNA was like, oh, we're best fucking friends, and he's out on ESPN doing press and shit. And then all of a sudden he's like suing them for what? Not paying them or doing deals behind his back or
probably
some
doing
shit.
Something fucked up that he's not liking. Because from
selling
what
off more shares of the company,
dude,
she's not
what,
supposed to sell.
From what I've seen, they're $3.7 million in debt to two different organizations. I can't remember what they were because I didn't write them down because I don't care that much. But you can look them up and see the names. And they've already sold off more shares of their library to, I think, the Fighting Combat Channel or some shit.
Fight Network. Well, they have a contract with Fight Network.
They just sold off more of their tape library
to them. Do like greatest hit specials
and
stuff.
They're thinking that's how the Bound for Glory is. These three companies just paid for their Bound for Glory is what they're thinking.
So I'll just read the. It came from PWI Insider. He filed a lawsuit, like you said, against TNA. The CFO, Dean Broadhead, Dixie's fucking husband, Serge Salias or whatever, and he filed it in Nashville Court where TNA is at. He also put in a temporary restraining order.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the restraining order. That shit is crazy.
What the hell does he want a restraining order for?
Is Dixie, like, beating him up in the back? This is my company! You will not
sell! Hire hitmen or something? I don't know.
What the fuck's going on? Like, he's... Oh my, it sounds like some mafia shit.
So Thursday, October 20th at 11:30 is when the court hearing is going to be heard on what everything is actually going on. But this is wild because obviously he's I don't know what's their TV been like this week, but they filmed everything for the rest of the year this week. So was Billy not there? Was he not a part of any of it?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Me either.
And yet we talk about
it. I have been watching this, though. This is a little storyline. Matt Hardy's now calling out all tag teams for the final episode of TNA of the year called the... it's going to be the Apocalypto Tournament or some shit where it's going to be...
In their backyard.
It's total nonstop deletion. Yeah, they're inviting all the tag teams from all over the world, any promotion, whatever, breach of contract, whatever. We're going to wrestle.
Here comes the Dudleys.
We're wrestling all at the TNA Compact. It's going to be total nonstop deletion, and it's supposed to, like, end the company or something like that. And it, like, would set up stuff perfect for, like, a ending and then a rebirth of a new TNA or
if
whatever.
Corbin took over.
With a new name, yeah. So it's actually a pretty cool, like, little angle. Like, total nonstop deletion. Matt Hardy's going to delete the company.
Tag teams.
At the end of the year.
At least the tag teams.
Well, if Matt Hardy wins, he's going to delete all of TNA. Just delete. Delete.
And then
all
he
of
shows
TNA.
Up on Raw the next week with his delete.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would be insane.
Because like the rumor is that the tape library was sold and Billy Corgan's going to take control of everybody's contracts and day-to-day operations. So that might be in effect. And they've recorded the TV to last them through the year so that all that can start at the beginning of the year. Maybe by like January they announced coming WrestleMania time, TNA starts on WWE Network or whatever. You know what I mean?
You're
like
hoping.
Maybe all that is true. Maybe it's not. I would love for the egg to be on WrestleZone's face because I hate that fucking site. But maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But if it does happen and they were able to fucking end the company, Billy Corgan restarts with fucking no tape library or nothing. He's starting from this ground up with he's going to have an all new company with just contracts he bought from an old company, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully find a TV deal and so on and so forth.
He's hoping.
They'd set that up perfect for this, but with this lawsuit going on,
that could make shit completely.
Well, the sale might have already fucking happened too, and then they're keeping a hush on an NDA or whatever the fuck, non-disclosure agreement, and so you got to keep a hush till
maybe
the,
someone's trying to breach it.
You got to keep a hush till the end of the year, and then he's already like after them for back pay that they owe him from. They might still all be best friends, and he might just be like, this is the way he can get pay out of them. Over time is just by filing it in court rather than fucking trying to make them pay the contracts out now.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, actually smart. They could do that.
So who knows what the hell's going on? All this shit is wild. This TNA shit is just...
Dude, the first deletion has...
Like, I can't believe they have lasted as long as they've had. I figured sometime after the Hulk Hogan thing that they were done. It was over.
And the ship kept sailing.
Once Jeff Jarrett was out of there, it has not ever been the same.
It never was the same once Hulk Hogan showed up.
Is Global Force Wrestling still a thing?
I don't know, is it?
I don't think so. I think you can buy gold bars on their website.
That's sad.
Can we sell gold bars on this website? I mean, our podcast?
I mean, if you want.
You want to sell TNA gold bars?
Sure, go for it.
You want to sell TNA gold bars, Derek? All right.
Right now, you can sell pumpkins.
I have a couple pumpkins in here. You are completely correct about that. That is completely true there, Derek. So, one last story I wanted to get into before we fall asleep here. Why does this podcast put us to sleep? Why is that? I'm watching you going...
I'm
like, God damn,
like
you're asleep like I was last week.
Like, I'm all right.
All right. So, the story came out that Linda McMahon has donated $6 million to the Trump campaign after his lewd comments about women. Even after she has said in interviews about how she doesn't support his comments, she's donated $6 million to a super PAC that supports the Trump campaign.
He must really grab that pussy.
And they've bought hundreds of YouTube ads because it's still the only thing you see on YouTube. I started seeing some other stuff, though, that relates to wrestling is why I'm bringing this up.
They're hoping YouTube subliminally gets people like you to vote Trump.
They got Maria Kanellis, if you remember her. Remember Maria from WWE? And as she was leaving WWE, she was on the Celebrity Apprentice. Before she went to Ring of Honor, New Japan, and now in TNA. So Maria Kanellis was on CNN this week to talk about Donald Trump. And she said that if they release some of the unreleased footage of what some of the stuff Trump said to people, it would be very appalling and revealing, she said. I was watching this one thing where he was talking to, or I mean, I was reading this thing where she was saying that, like, off camera, he was telling her that she needs to get the mole on her shoulder removed. And she was like, no, I've never thought about it. And he was like, well, it's an imperfection, and imperfections don't look good. You look way better if you got the mole removed. Like, and it was just like, yeah, and she kind of, the way you just looked, I imagine it's her reaction, like, fuck you. Like, that's part of my body,
and
dude.
And you're going to be the president, possibly. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? That would be my initial reaction.
Like, is she... And
like, who the fuck are you?
She always said that she never really thought much about it until she started hearing the more and more stuff as this election's gone on.
Uh-huh.
About how he's talked to other people, and it's like just another addition to his pattern of...
ignorance.
Yeah, and the way he treats and acts about women. Bob's in the room! Lousy Weather Media's Bob Camparta, everybody.
And you hate this guy.
Yeah.
Right now.
No, he's not deleted off Facebook yet.
Oh, you're not deleted yet off Facebook.
No, but everybody else in Lousy Weather Media is.
Also, Bob's the only one-fourth of the edition that you did not delete.
Yes. Bob is the only one that has...
He's still in the good
he
graces.
He decided to become obsolete.
So he's so, Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
Awesome.
He's Monopsy.
You're broken, Sean Ash, and he's obsolete.
He's obsolete
Camparta.
Mule. Yeah. Obsolete awesome. Mule Camparta.
Awesome. That's awesome. They're just walking around with Hitler chants going on now. Delete.
Delete. But yeah, so Maria Kanellis said that about Trump and her imperfections and the way it made her feel.
That's crazy. I didn't see that.
You want to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll talk the hits and misses of the, I don't know, what's
Raw
it called?
Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, what's it called that happens during the week? Raw and SmackDown, you said it? Yeah, yeah, that's
NXT
what
happened.
That's what happens during the week, yeah,
New
yeah,
Japan,
yeah,
some Ring of
yeah.
Honor.
Hey, hey, can't you see? I'm a rockin' Southern girl running wild and free.
Recording Chris Clem's Cavs Cast number 50. Chris Clem.
Basketball is my favorite sport. Talk about the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the podcast field. LeBron and the Cavs are the king of the world. I like slam dunks, trash talking in the booth. The podcast is funny and it is the truth. Download it now with Lousy Weather Media. Cause it's Chris Clem's Cavs Cast available now.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, now a part of Lousy Weather Media. Find it at lousyweathermedia.com or chrisclem.net/podcast. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, it's fantastic.
Oh, God! Tony, wake up! Oh! I was just having the scariest dream. I dreamed I Can't Read and Lousy Wrestling Podcast wasn't available on the main feed of Lousy Weather Network anymore. And the scariest part of that dream, Tony, is that it's true. But it's a good thing. You can now subscribe to I Can't Read, Lousy Wrestling Podcast, The Main Show, or Chris Clem's Cavs Cast all separately on iTunes. It's as easy as that. So if you feel as if you've been living in a waking nightmare, have no fear. Just search iTunes for your favorite Lousy Weather Media Network podcast and subscribe.
It's not... Why am I doing this? All right, so...
you're obsessed with TNA.
Hits and misses. That's why we're the shittiest wrestling podcast right there. Just because of that whole segment right there. That is 2 minutes of air these listeners cannot get back.
Chris Clem is going to totally...
Yeah, he's going to be real mad, dude.
He's going to be like, you motherfucker. Our one true listener.
Mm. So, Raw and SmackDown this week.
Yes.
Tell me, like, okay, so I only watched highlights. I'll say it. I'm not going to fucking barely sit here and pretend like I watched the whole show.
Yes.
You watched both of them, though.
Yeah, I watched.
They make it hard to watch both of them, dude. You have to, like, really put
I can say this Raw has been a little bit better than the last couple.
So, the big news on Raw we already talked about was the Goldberg thing. Yeah. So, what else really happened on Raw? What's the deal? What's going on with Sasha and Charlotte? They announced the female Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah, opened up with Sasha coming out. She was talking about she's the champ and everything, and how they've accomplished some things, being the first women to do so in a while, and challenged her to be the first to be in Hell in a Cell against Charlotte. Charlotte comes on out. She accepts, and then fucking Rusev comes on down, starts women bashing, being his own Donald Trump, talking about how he beat them all up, and talking about how he's the best. And then I think Sasha pushes down Lana, and Rusev like gets in front of her and stuff like that, and then he turns around to like go pick up Lana, and they both give him a double dropkick out the ring.
What's up?
The two chicks, Sasha and Charlotte, they gang up on Rusev because he turns his back to try to pick up.
After he said he's going to beat their asses?
Yeah, so they double dropkick him, get him out of the ring. He's acting like he's going to go back in there or kick their ass, and Roman comes out.
Mm.
And
did they have a mixed tag match then?
Later on that night, yeah.
Okay.
And then
Charlotte failed Rusev.
Yes. And that's how it started off. And then after that was Kofi and Cesaro.
Kofi and Cesaro?
Yeah, versus each other.
And this is the match you were telling me about the spot. Tell me about it again, because I kind of forget.
Kofi fucked up. He was supposed to hit like this.
Simple enough.
He was supposed to hit this little springboard.
You said, cause the internet's telling me they went to, they had Bayley match, they had Lince Dorado.
Yeah, that was after. Kofi and Cesaro was right after the whole Sasha.
Oh, okay.
And then
yeah,
after that was Bayley and...
I got you. It was the first match.
Yeah, this was the first match. And this is where he fucked up. Had a little corner spot. And he was supposed to come off springboard, probably do a move to Cesaro. But instead, he slipped and fell and played it off that he fucked his leg up and shit like that. And they played off of it. But Kofi and them still got the win.
So in the Bayley match, she wrestled some nobody again.
Another local.
Is it another one of those matches where Bayley just gets her ass beat for 5 minutes and then just hits a Bayley to belly and wins? Or did Bayley actually have offense this week?
I seen her fuck up a spot. She was supposed to do a sunset flip in the corner to do it, and she overextended and went a little too far, and she had to like struggle
run back and get back to the girl.
No, she like... It was like Scooby-Doo style. She like had to like scoop back and then grab her to sunset flipper because they weren't smart enough to play off of it. Like, oh, I missed. That chick could have got down, you know, started taking offense. Instead, she like scooted back Scooby-Doo style and got the roll up.
But then Dana Brooke attacked her after the match, it says.
Yeah, she was attacked after
So
the
they're
match.
Shooting for a
it
Dana
was,
Brooke.
It was another short, pointless match for Bayley is what I had wrote down.
But they're shooting for a Dana Brooke versus Bayley match,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, Bayley had more offense this week, though.
So Lince Dorado is tagging with Sin Cara now, apparently.
Yes.
This is the new Lucha Dragons.
And they were...
Did they come out to the Lucha song, or what the fuck did they come out to?
They each came out to their own music, and they
so
talked
what
did, about
what
how
was
they were
Sin Cara's
a previous
music?
Tag team.
Sin Cara came out to Lucha, Lucha, Lucha.
I think that's his music, yeah.
So it's the same music that Kalisto's using?
I think they both share the same music.
So yes. Kalisto hasn't been wrestling for a few weeks.
So maybe he might get new music.
Maybe. Okay, so they tagged this, the new Lucha Dragons versus Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. Tony Nese is still like my favorite dude of this Cruiserweight division.
Oh, dude, fucking Sin Cara had this sick-ass move on, who is it, Drew?
Okay.
Had a sick ass move. He did this, went for like an old school schoolboy roll up, but instead he, Gulak held on with the armbar and he fucking like picked him up and fucking did a sick ass fucking powerbomb. It was a pretty cool spot that he did because it was real fast paced and looked real fluid. Like there was no fuck up, no stagger, nothing. It was really spot on. Really cool spot.
So tell me about the, so we had a bunch of backstage stuff after that. Stephanie,
yeah, I wish they would give that match a lot longer, dude. It was very short, and they had like one cool spot in it. If they gave them more time, it would have been a lot.
Well, Stephanie and Mick came to the ring and announced that Sasha and Charlotte's going to be in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
And this is when Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho come out?
Yep. No, he announces Chris Jericho and Rollins will be in a...
Hell in a Cell too?
No, Kevin Owens versus Rollins will be in a Hell in a Cell also. And then that's when Kevin Owens comes out with Chris Jericho.
And they say they don't want
Kevin
Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens says he don't want to be in the Cell.
But unless Jericho can be in there with him, probably.
Yeah.
So, well, because the stipulation becomes if Jericho can defeat Rollins, he's going to be entered into the title match.
Yeah, that's what Stephanie said to Jericho. And he got real excited when Stephanie was like, if you beat him tonight, you'll be in the match. And he got a nice little smirk on his face, like, awesome, I can wrestle for the title. And then after that,
Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas.
Yeah, and that was
Gallows and Anderson just beat up fucking
Big Cass and Enzo. Pretty simple. And then they came back from commercial.
And then Sami Zayn and Neville come out instead.
And
what the fuck's up with that?
I have no clue. And
they didn't announce like a reason for this to happen. That okay, well, these two couldn't compete, so we're just slapping this tag team together, or what?
Dude, I
did they what, say anything?
Dude, this no, this is all I have wrote down because right after that, it was a quick match, dude. It was like fucking pointless. Like, what the fuck is the point of doing this?
Well,
match?
Yeah, I was about to say, tell me about the tag team of Sami Zayn and Neville.
Short. Nothing.
There's Steve with a hot and ready pizza. You bring us some hot and ready?
Some what?
Did you bring us hot and ready pizza?
He said it's old, bud.
It's old from where? Did you take my hot and ready from the fucking refrigerator and just walk around with it? my leftover hot and ready from the refrigerator, Steve.
It's all for show.
That's awesome.
It's all about the persona.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you giving my pizza a walk.
That's the new trend, walking pizzas.
But tell me about are they going to be tagging up for good now, or what the hell?
I think they did, because Bo Dallas was like, I just want two people come down and they just want to fight. So I think they just sent two people down there, and dude, it was literally like maybe a 5-minute match, very short.
Titus O'Neil and R-Truth. I'm just reading this. I didn't see any of this. So I'm just reading this, and it sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just listen to what their write-up of was it. O'Neil took exception to R-Truth stealing his potential sponsorship.
I put boring nothing special.
From Payday Candy Bars. So Mick
Short,
Foley.
Sweet.
So who got the sponsorship with Payday? R-Truth?
R-Truth.
And Mick says, have a match. Titus gets distracted by Gold Dust. And R-Truth rolls him up for a win.
Yep.
Is it like, why couldn't these guys just be on SmackDown and Raw be a 2-hour show?
they don't care what you want.
This
Sean.
Stuff doesn't need to be here.
I put boring nothing special. After
and then
that
they go
Braun
right into
Strowman.
The squash match.
The only thing out of this
their names
was,
were their names were Steven and Clay Splash.
Yeah, that's what I have. I just put the Splash Brothers laughing.
Splash Brothers. Did they look like they were here there to make a splash, Derek? Tell me.
They didn't even look like they were a tag team. They both wore different. Their attire was nothing similar.
They're probably like supposed to be opponents. They've only worked matches against each other their entire lives, and then they're like, you're tagging tonight.
And we're calling you the Splash Bros.
So then Roman Reigns, this is when the Roman
Reigns
match
was. The only thing I got
was.
Out of that was Braun Strowman attempted a double drop kick, didn't get the second foot, completely hitting the other guy.
So this whole thing is weird. The U.S. champion is tagging with the women's champion to try and make the U.S. champion a babyface.
Yeah, the only thing I got out of this was there was one spot where Roman and Rusev was in the ring pretty much the first good 5-6 minutes, and the crowd started chanting, we want Sasha, and Roman, was on the ground, and Rusev literally over at freaking Sasha's corner mocking Roman, saying, tag her, go ahead, tag her, and then fucking, they were like, the crowd wants her. Tagger just mocking her, and then fucking went over there and beat Roman's ass some more, and it was nothing.
Sasha made Charlotte tap out to the bank statement.
Yeah,
I did see this because I saw all the highlights and stuff for this.
The thing pretty much I got out of it was Charlotte was tired of not being in the match, so she did tag herself in.
And then Rusev was tweeting about if that weak-ass Charlotte wouldn't have been in the match, he would have won.
Yeah.
Because he would have beat that bitch's ass. This went Paul Heyman came out and they announced the Brock Lesnar Goldberg stuff we discussed earlier.
Yep.
TJ Perkins wrestled Daivari's little brother, Ari Daivari. It's Sean Daivari's younger brother.
Mm-hmm. You had Brian Kendrick on commentary.
And Brian Kendrick on commentary. Perkins won with the knee bar. How was this match as a cruiserweight match?
Once again, they're not giving them enough time on TV.
Purple robes. It's like last minute thing.
Actually, this
they
week they didn't
the
do
event.
The purple robes because they are doing the breast cancer.
The pink robes.
So they had one pink rope and had it more.
The other two purple? Purple and pink?
I think it was just their normal.
Regular red?
Yeah.
And then they went into the main event. This was Seth Rollins and Chris Jericho.
Yep.
So, who ended up winning the match?
Seth Rollins.
So Jericho's not going to be in the main event.
Nope.
I thought they were trying to set it up perfect for the split between Jericho and Owens.
Oh no, they're going to ride that.
They're
going
to milk that for a while.
They love it together because him and Jericho with that Jericho's list is dude.
Jericho's list is over, more over than anything,
dude.
On the television program, that is for sure. You're not lying about that,
dude. Everyone's like is going to put them on the list. Dude, it's going to be put them on the list.
Once Kevin Owens eventually gets added to the list, it's going to be like the biggest fucking moment in wrestling.
Yes, it's going to be definitely huge for them if they do that.
That's going to be Tyson and Austin. That's going to be Hogan Warrior. It's going to be one of the biggest moments in wrestling
if they go it that way.
Jericho putting Kevin Owens on the list.
That will be awesome, dude, because the list is over. And
so what do you,
I love all his segments.
What do you give Raw this week, Derek?
I gave it a B overall.
Mm-hmm. Good show, then.
Yes. I
think this stuff is way too long, my friend.
It would have got an A if they would got rid of some of these enhancement matches and gave some of these cruiserweights some time.
Yeah.
That's my biggest takeaway.
You can
definitely tell that they're not doing it like SmackDown is, trying to put their mid cards up high and Raw still staying with their main stay people, not giving the little guys their time.
On Raw?
Yeah, they should put the cruiserweights with SmackDown, dude. That show would be booming right now. Raw, because Raw is 3 hours.
I was trying to find a commercial to play on my tablet so that I could get some Kool-Aid because I'm thirsty as fuck. But I don't think I'm going to find a commercial.
You can just get Donald Trump's grabber by the pussy. I mean, that's going to be trending worldwide for like the next 10 years.
Just put that
T-shirts,
on repeat.
It's going to be on bumper stickers.
Well, tell me about the opening of SmackDown real quick, because I've heard a lot of people's reviews of the opening of SmackDown this week.
SmackDown started
off. So tell me about the opening of it, and I'm going to get some Kool-Aid while you're explaining it to me.
Well, Dolph starts it off.
Mm-hmm.
Dresses the crowd. The crowd comes out. You deserve it. I don't think that deserves a bell, but we'll give it one anyways, I guess. The crowd just starts you deserving it, and you know how the rest... Oh, yeah. All the crowd was into it. I was shocked. The Miz comes out. He stands there. He's dressed in all black with Maurice. He stands there. Doesn't says nothing. Dolph Ziggler's in the ring, not really saying nothing. Pretty much... And then he stops and he's like, I'm mourning the death of the Intercontinental Championship because you killed it, Dolph. And, dude, I just busted out dying, dude. It was classic Miz.
See, everybody was talking on the internet that it was kind of like a very forced you deserve it. Like, it wasn't as loud as, like, a real you deserve it chant. And they... Everybody was saying he was pandering to the crowd. Now the
he definitely was pandering to the crowd.
I did watch this part because this is the part...
I didn't want to bash him because everyone else was, he was pandering.
What
the
was
crowd.
Funny was, okay, his music stopped. You deserve it, chance going. And then, like, right before he's about to talk, his music fucking, like, queued up and started playing. Did you hear that shit?
It was
really
real
fucking
weird. Yeah, it was real
up.
Low.
Somebody accidentally just, like, hit play on his music or something on accident or
and
some shit.
And now he's fired. Yeah. But he did pander the crowd a lot. And
that would
then,
be Kevin Dunn's job, the main producer who's done that shit for 30 years.
Yeah.
He fucked up. And it was funny. I was like, damn, Botchamania. His music's just playing randomly.
Yeah, they did fuck that up. I had that wrote down. They
and then there was the match between Spear Squad Kenny. They're not calling him Kenny Dykstra. They're not calling him Kenny Doan. He's just being called Kenny. Kenny versus Dolph Ziggler, which I thought was a pretty good match. Kenny doesn't look too bad. He doesn't look too out of ring shape, I guess to say. And then the super kick happened, and Mauro was like, oh my God, he killed Kenny.
Yep.
And all he was missing was a you bastard.
Yep. I actually said it. The moment he said it, and Jessica started laughing.
See, like, that part of the show I did watch.
And then right after that, The Miz jumped right in the ring, attacked Ziggler. So The Miz pretty much was like, this is act two.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to play this out
for
a while.
I thought the You Deserve It stuff was a little weird because it's like, man, how many times has this dude been Intercontinental Champion?
5 times.
It's not like the first time he's won the belt after a long fuck. Like, it's not like his. It's not like this dude's a first ascension to the top of the company. Like,
yeah.
So the whole You Deserve It shit was kind of dumb to me.
I think they overplay it with everyone, though.
And then this is when they started talking about I did see this part, too, because I talked about it earlier.
Daniel Bryan and Shane came out.
Yeah, and then this is when they announced Survivor Series match.
Yeah, they challenged Raw to a 5-on-5 traditional
Survivor Series.
And then a 10-man tag match.
This is where I think would be perfect for...
and then 5-on-5 women.
Yeah, this is where I think it would be perfect for...
The Goldberg.
Goldberg to get in there.
Yeah, that's why that's what I was thinking too. Possibly right here, and not do a match and do another WrestleMania, because
it'd be really cool for him to be like, "No, I signed to SmackDown."
Yeah, give him some work.
I'm their hired gun for Survivor Series, and if Brock Lesnar, you want to meet me, get in that match. That would be if I was booking this. That'd stretch be smart it out, way to
WrestleMania.
That would be really cool, and it would get.
And you got to think about how old the Undertaker is. You know, he don't really want to wrestle anymore. I think this will be their new main attraction, and they'll be doing it with Brock.
Brock have a streak.
He's the new, since he broke the Undertaker streak, he's the new guy. You know what I'm saying?
But Brock already lost since then.
No, what I'm saying is
he lost at WrestleMania 31.
No, he's like their new main.
The year after.
No, I'm not saying no streak for him. I'm saying he's like the new Undertaker. He's the guy who only comes around for certain events now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's the new Undertaker for Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I think he's not going to come back. He's going to just be retired and just play out. That's my assumption to this whole thing.
Naomi and Carmella, I did see this too. Nikki Bella coming out and interrupting.
I wrote down surprisingly good match for the time.
And
they're
giving Naomi a bunch of wins, and I think Nikki Bella's outfit right now might be my favorite outfit she's ever worn.
I also wrote down when Nikki Bella came down, really 3 refs had to hold back little Nikki Bella, really 3.
Dude, she's strong, dude.
And then she
denim shorts, man. They give her extra strength.
And then she chased Carmella off into the crowd and goes into the ring. And
Naomi stuck the win on the roll up from the distraction. And Naomi's been getting wins. She beat Alexa at the pay-per-view. She's beaten Carmella here. Naomi's getting a slow burn on her push. She's winning. She's not losing. She's winning matches.
And when she does lose, it's her partner dropping the match.
And people are going to get excited that she's winning, and then she can go for the belt, and it'll be worth it.
Possible. And this is when AJ came up and probably chewed up 40 minutes of SmackDown.
Well, they said it was the tag match before that.
Jimmy
Uso and Jay. When they rolled him up and Jay, I can't remember if it was Jimmy or Jay, but it was Jay.
Who did the little flip?
Jay, on the back. He fucking.
Yeah, that was sweet.
He put his legs through the ropes to push down on Jimmy to get that little extra leverage on
Chad
the
pin. Chad Gable did a sweet over top armbar on.
Cool. Usos heel run is their best work they've done. They're being
if
very,
they would be heel, that was awesome.
Their wrestling has been being very innovative, and the things they're doing is good, solid tag team wrestling.
I wish they, this is a match I wish they would give a little bit more time, maybe cut the AJ speech in the match right after it.
So their little thing, but AJ came to deliver his No Mercy victory speech.
He comes out and tells the crowd to cheer for him, and you know how the crowd is with him, so they fucking start cheering him, and he's like, he tells the crowd that he calls them losers. He's like, yeah, losers, don't cheer for me, et cetera, et cetera. And they're fucking totally cheering for him.
He says that he's going to give somebody a title shot, and then Dean Ambrose's music plays. I'm sure the crowd fucking explodes.
Styles comes out. He's constantly boasting about Ambrose and Cena, how he beat them both.
He beat up John Cena.
Yeah, Styles is going to give someone a main event match, and that's when Dean Ambrose comes out.
And like the crowd fucking pops. And then he's actually,
earlier he said, he did the whole, when he was telling people to cheer, he told them each cheer for John Cena. And when he was like, cheer for Dean Ambrose, and then there was like crickets I had wrote down. Like, really? No one popped for him.
He didn't get that big a pop.
Not as big as pop as AJ or Cena. Cena got a huge boo with some mixed cheers. And
it's because...
And Ambrose seemed like five Punk. College kids
I just
clapping.
Said CM Punk. Who the fuck are we you even talking about?
You could have started talking about CM Punk during this.
Who are we talking about?
The crowd could have started chanting CM Punk during this, is what I said. And then Dean Ambrose comes out and he tells Styles he knows he's not talking about him, so on. And he tells Styles he likes the easy way out of how he wins and et cetera goes on. And that no one's going to jump him in line on the main roster. And that's when Dean Ambrose, I mean, John, not any of these guys, when you see, you got me fucking shit up now. This one, AJ's like, oh, this guy's not even on the main roster, et cetera. And he's like, I'm going to give the shout out to, and brings out James Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth, I saw that right? shit. And then James Ellsworth comes out like, me?
Yeah, he's so excited, he's like, and this shit is so hilarious right here, dude. This whole
match was cool. I watched
the part right at, before all that led up. This shit was hilarious. Ambrose said he definitely wanted to see this match because he said he definitely wants to see this match because Ellsworth 3:16 says if you have two hands, you have a fighting chance,
and
the fucking crowd erupted. That shit was hilarious.
Ambrose is like, I want a front row seat, but then Daniel Bryan comes out and he's like, no,
nope,
you're
the ref.
Guest
and
referee.
He straight up was like, Styles, if you touch him, that's a fine and or suspension.
So they put all this in, and I thought this was, like, a lot of people might think this is dumb because special referee gimmick is kind of dumb.
This has been SmackDown's best match since the brand has been,
This
shit was hilarious because of the whole Ambrose angle of how they were doing a lot of comedy back
and forth. So I did watch this.
His opponent was weak, but...
I did watch this, and they did... So there's a couple things I want to mention. James Ellsworth botching the Styles Clash was scary. Tucked his chin. His chin he doesn't fucking even have. He tucked it.
So he's lucky he don't have a chin.
He almost landed on the very... Yeah. Like, he fucking, like, I want to say, like, last moment maybe lifted his head up or whatever. It landed on maybe his forehead. But he tucked his fucking chin as he was going down, and he almost... fucking Yoshitatsu.
He
could have
been his
neck.
Career. Yeah, dude.
And it's just...
Dude, what fucked it up...
Just shows inexperience.
Listen, right at the beginning of the match...
Nervousness, one of the two.
Before the commercial hit, as soon as the match was about to start, the fucking... It was going to go to commercial, and instantly, this was awesome chance started happening. That fucking cracked me up because
the match hadn't even started,
and it was awesome. And then this week, they didn't go to commercial. They had it up in the little corner.
I just think SmackDown is just the better show. It really has been.
Dude, I gave
even as we're talking about this shit, like, the writing on this just seems... Like, it was a little kabuki-ish with all the Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt angle over the past couple months.
AJ sold the whole thing,
but the rest of the show is just really good. The women are fucking great.
After a few months ago, I was like, I don't think there's enough for the women's division, and it has been a lot better than what Raw is because it's just been
and
Sasha.
People keep saying put all the women on one, all the cruiserweights on another, and fucking
that
I think,
would be smart, honestly.
But I think
but
it
they
would,
done fucked up
it would dilute it would dilute what the women have going on each brand. It really would, because you would just be bringing in six or seven more women to a division that, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting time and they're getting television and they're getting over.
Yeah.
You put six more women in there, you just have, then you have more tags, you have more four on four, you have more diva fucking Playboy pillow fights and so on and so forth. So keeping them split like 6-6 is fucking great.
Yeah, so you had the This Is Awesome chance. Well, when they went to commercial, you know how you didn't watch the first SmackDown Live where they went to a split screen and actually showed
wrestling. Yeah,
well they did that.
Yeah.
They did that this week too, and then you had AJ Styles did a arm drag on fucking James Ambrose.
This match,
yeah,
this one? Okay.
He does an arm drag on.
You just said James Ambrose. Which one does he do it to? James Ellsworth or
Ellsworth,
Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, James Ellsworth. My bad. And he does an arm drag. Dean Ambrose comes over and he starts teaching them how to do an arm drag and how to defend it. Fucking cracked me up. And then he was hiding behind Dean Ambrose the entire time during the whole commercial break. And AJ's trying to get around him, and Dean Ambrose is just following him around like, you can't touch me or nothing. Fine. It was just perfect comedy. It was hilarious. AJ tries to go for a closed fist, and Ambrose blocks this shit, and fucking Ellsworth comes from behind with his closed fist and punches him. It was just perfect setup, like, made the match. Ambrose interacted with the crowd perfectly.
My favorite part of the match was when he gets Ellsworth into the calf crusher after it was, I think it was after that nasty Styles clash.
Dude, put it this way, they had AJ Styles, let's go Ellsworth's chance going on.
Like going back and forth.
Yeah.
But then Dean Ambrose like grabs his cell phone out of his pocket and then he's like on the phone going, I can't talk now. I'm reffing a match. I can't talk now. And he's like sitting there on his cell phone while Ellsworth was tapping. That was really fucking funny.
Dude, they had he did a lot of interaction outside the ring, trying to sign autographs.
Oh, and taking selfies with people.
Yeah, and fucking grabbing popcorn out of the crowd, going out there, dude. Perfect interaction, dude. I wrote down best match as far as comedy goes, dude. It was fucking, dude, awesome, awesome, perfect.
So then they ended the show with Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt.
And I didn't even watch this match because I was like, you can't.
Oh, well, Ellsworth got the win. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, he got the. Yeah, well, you're skipping
they,
shit.
After the phone thing, they stand up and he hits AJ with the Dirty Deeds, pulls Ellsworth on top of him. AJ kicks out. So he hits him with another Dirty Deeds and pulls
him on top
of him.
He goes outside this time and actually interacts with the fans again before he does the. He rolls Ellsworth back into the ring because AJ throws him out. He goes, interacts with the fans, comes back in the ring, gives AJ the Dirty Deeds a second time, and then does a fast count because it's funny as hell.
He did this count even faster than the other one.
Yeah, because it was hilarious when AJ Styles got out of the ring. He was fucking doing a speed count to 10. Like, and when Ellsworth was out there, he was just like one, like interacting with the crowd. Dude, perfect match. Like, if Ambrose could be this character on a regular basis and how he interacts with the crowd, a lot better. But get rid of his whole like lunatic like that whole gimmick that he does with, he's not Domino.
He's
or
becoming
Deuce.
More of himself, I guess. Yeah. I would love to see him work in tights, I guess. I think the jeans
he don't need to be Deuce or Domino.
I think fucking regular he wrestled in trunks in Florida Championship Wrestling or whatever. He looks fine in trunks. I guess I'm advocating for a man to wear less clothes, which is, sounds weird.
You constantly do.
But to see him in trunks and no t-shirt instead of a fucking wife beater and blue jeans would be so much more appealing to the eye.
Why does he have to be the 1950 greaser?
Yeah. Or a backyard wrestler or a whatever. You know what I mean? He can wear trunks and boots and no t-shirt and show off that body.
You definitely like when they show their body off.
Yeah.
It's kind
of
weird.
So the ending of the show was then Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt beating up Kane and Orton. Why are Kane and Orton tagged together? Because they're the biggest stars on the show, basically.
Because Teddy Long was backstage and said, Playa,
we going to have ourselves a tag team match.
That's exactly what happened.
So... But I was just saying the Kabuki stuff about Orton and Bray, like, and the stuff. The thing about it, though, is there's a place for it on the card because they're the biggest. Like, when you put, if you put Randy Orton on a sign, people who have been lackluster wrestling fans or whatever, fair weather wrestling fans, whatever you say, over the years will more or less recognize fucking Randy Orton over a Dean Ambrose, even. You know what I mean?
Even Kane.
Or, So Kane over Randy Orton, you know what I mean? So that's why they're on the show, and that's why they have their place and their angles that they're doing. You know?
No.
No? You just don't think they should be on the show?
They could have got rid of that.
I think they could. They could have fucking... Here's what I'm saying.
They could have got rid of that.
They could have put... They could have put people like Titus O'Neil and fucking Darren Young or whatever and Bob Backlund on SmackDown and then put those bigger stars... Well, and put the bigger stars like Kane and Orton on Raw so that Raw's three-hour show doesn't fucking get diluted with an hour of garbage in the middle of the show. And then you can put that garbage to 10-minute segments or 5-minute, 2-minute, 30-second backstage segments.
So you want to have longer Raw segments.
Well, no, Raw could be better with better stars. Take a couple of the shitty stars and put them on SmackDown, since SmackDown is already a good fucking show with what they're doing with AJ, and they only have 2 hours to fill, an hour and 40 minutes or whatever.
And
whatever
last
breaks
week
down
was
to
35
an hour
minutes
and 30.
Of AJ.
The show breaks down to like an hour and 30 minutes, and then Raw breaks down to like 2 hours and 15. So to fill that extra 45 minutes, they should have went with people like Orton and even the Wyatts or Kane on Raw.
And then
filled up SmackDown with some more and more young guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate that middle hour of Raw that is awful. Like, usually that's how it always goes. It's like the fucking, like, or at least the, like, from 9:30 to 10:30 is usually garbage.
Yeah, that's when you have the Mick Foley segment going all the way off.
I fall asleep every time. Every time I try to watch a whole episode, I fall asleep. Even when I'm not tired.
Cause I
could have slept 20 hours, woken up, completely refreshed, drank 9 pots of coffee, and then I'll turn on Raw, and I will still fall asleep by the fucking hour and a half mark.
That is sad.
I always fall asleep.
I fell asleep talking about it. The Bray Wyatt match because I woke up early.
Yeah, but like I said, at the same time though, there's a time and place for that shit existing on the show because of the big star thing. Like I said, they're trying to put asses in seats.
I just don't think they mash together.
And Randy Orton and Kane put a lot more asses in seats than
as a tag team. Hell no.
No, I just mean name value.
I was about to say Kane hasn't put an ass in a seat since he was the real Kane with the mask.
Bobby will only go to see Kane. Am I correct?
No, Ryback.
He won't go see Kane? Okay, never mind then.
Mask is dumb now. See, he only likes the old mask.
So
like
what would you give SmackDown this week? B plus?
No, I gave this an A.
A this week.
Yeah, it was really
top notch episode of SmackDown. 5 stars, greatest of all time.
Because AJ, the whole AJ segment and all that just uplifted it by a full letter grade. I gave it. It was just classic. Really good done. Especially for how long it went.
You want to give me a match of the week, Derek, and then we can get out of here?
Yeah, we can do the Armageddon from 2006, the Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match, I think it was, wasn't it?
The Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match?
Wasn't it?
Where?
The Tag Team Fatal 4-Way.
On Armageddon. Oh, yeah, Armageddon, right, yeah, my bad, I stopped paying attention, started reading a text from Paul.
There you go, fucking up.
You started reading a text from Paul about Chris Clem's show on Tuesday.
All right.
But you told me Armageddon.
2006.
4-way ladder match. You ever
fatal
seen this match?
Tag team fatal 4-way.
Ever seen this match, Bobby? It's the Eminem.
Eminem.
Against the Kendrick and Paul London, against the Hardys, against William Regal and Dave Taylor in a 4-way tag team ladder match.
And
Teddy Long came out and he was like, "You're not just going to have a tag team on tag team match. We going to have ourselves a 4-way tag team ladder match, playa." This is a true story. And then
he was all about the tag team and the playa.
All of a sudden, they brought out a bunch of ladders, and then they had a tag match with ladders. And then the match is famous for Joey Mercury getting his face ripped off.
Oh, yeah. Sean's best.
Yeah, you have seen that match when the ladder like hits him in the face, and Matt Hardy jumps and hits the ass on the ladder, and it pops up and rips his face off.
It's probably broken. Just years of thinking about that.
It
years
broke.
Of fucking up Joey Mercury.
Broke Bob Hardy. Jeff Hardy. Matt Hardy.
Bob's like, that's me now. Bob Hardy.
Bob Hardy. He's absolute mule. Bob Hardy.
That, I thought it was Jeff Camparda.
Jeff Camparda. Bob Hardy's way better.
You like Bob Hardy, Betty?
Better, yeah.
Bob Hardy.
Bob Hardy, Betty. Bob Hardy, Betty. That's my new song.
That's your new song for the week?
Bob Hardy, Betty.
Bob Hardy, Betty.
So anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Nope.
There.
Nope.
No.
That's
how
it.
How was the weekend? Did you check out anything else in wrestling?
No, I pretty much got most of it except for the Matt Sydal possession charge in Japan. And
yeah, and you said something about Hideo.
Hideo Itami. I said almost at Hidashi. Holy
you
shit.
Did almost say Hideo Hitachi.
Itami, my bad.
Hideo Hitachi. I like that better. That should have been his name.
That should have been his name. Hideo Itami.
Hideo Hitachi.
It sounds like he has an Italian last name. Itami.
Hideo Hitachi.
Hideo Itachi.
Bob Hardy Betty.
Bob Hardy Betty. And Hideo Hitachi.
Hideo Hitachi?
That's what you said, right?
Uh-huh.
He wants it to be Hibachi.
Kobayashi.
Kobayashi.
How many Japanese names are we going to say?
I think we've only said one.
Bob Hardy Betty.
Bob Hardy Betty.
Bob Hardy Betty. And we're out. Bob Hardy. Bob Hardy. Bob Hardy. Bob Hardy.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.